Here we go with episode 2F02, Sideshow Bob Roberts. First broadcast, October 9th, 1994. I'm Matt Groening, creator of Bender.
David Merkin, showrunner and executive producer.
Josh Weinstein, one of the writers.
Bill Oakley, the other writer.
KBBL Talk Radio, and now Springfield's... Great shot of a radio, Mark. Really captured the feeling.
Ladies and gentlemen, Birch Barlow.
Now, Birch Barlow, is he based on anybody? I mean, is there...
For legal reasons, we can't say, but, you know, he's supposed to be Dr. Laura.
Okay. As long as it's not Rush Limbaugh, because he's very litigious.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on lots and lots of pills. And we can say that because that's been proven, right?
But for some reason, this Birch Barlow really speaks to me.
Good morning, fellow freedom likers. Birch Barlow, the fourth branch of government, the 51st state.
I think it's actually dated. There was a brief period when it was dated, when Clinton was in office, and now it's not dated anymore.
You always know that evil will rise up again. That's what we depend on when we do a show like this. And this is a lot of great Republican bashing and conservative bashing, and but also Democratic and liberal bashing. So it's pretty even, though mostly this one is Republican bashing. That's Harry doing his non-Rush Limbaugh imitation.
Tie-dyed pre-huggers who would rather play hacky sack than lock up the home.
And he does a good job. And he's in this a lot, by the way, especially in the beginning of it.
I don't think that character ever appeared again, did he?
No, we had enough of him with this.
Yeah. That was sort of fun.
Got his own spinoff, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Kids Want a Nice Conservative Talk Show.
Well, this was Josh and I are huge Watergate buffs. It's probably one of our biggest passions, and this whole thing is a loose parody of Watergate. Certainly the second act is.
Well, especially this fireworks thing.
Yeah.
Really, Watergate in a nutshell. I absolutely love the fact that Bart stuttered just a little bit about the fireworks, and so it sounded like a lie, and then it turned out to be totally true for once in his life, and the perfect thing for him gets screwed. I love explaining the jokes. So many people write and say, we don't understand these jokes. Is this supposed to be funny? And these DVDs really help you laugh along with The Simpsons.
Well, if you actually read the internet fans, there are whole discussion threads, jokes we don't get.
Yes.
I get to choose the radio station. When you're driving, we'll listen to your...
A nice cut right here.
That's Lisa's radio station.
It's very sad that she likes St. Elmo's Fire.
At the time, it wasn't so dated. At the time, it was 11 years less dated than it is now.
But I was sad that she liked that song. That's always a bad song, even 11 years ago.
Republican Party. It's high time people realized we conservatives aren't old.
Now, there's the amazing Kelsey Grammer as Sideshow Bob Roberts. We took no chances in this episode. We showed virtually every other appearance of Sideshow Bob, lest people forget.
It used to be a tradition that there would be a Sideshow Bob episode every year, and I think it became increasingly difficult to figure out ways in which he would attempt to kill. There you go.
Yeah, back when we cared about continuity and things like that, it was very hard.
Oh, Sideshow Bob!
Bob, your mortal enemy is on the radio!
All right.
For more,
by the way, I have to say that Kelsey Grammer is one of the greatest joys to direct. You love directing him. He works so hard. He's so funny.
You just sailed by Dr. Demento.
Dr. Demento was nice, too. Let's not forget about Dr. Demento, and particularly now that he's not as big as he once was, I think everybody should really owe him. We owe him a debt of gratitude.
We owe him a debt of gratitude. Though this is one of the things that killed his career, was finding out that he was Bart's mortal enemy. That turned people against him like you would not believe. And it's really, really pouring salt in an old wound, isn't it, Matt? Demento is just coming back again, and now this is going to come out.
You know, there's a whole subculture of people who are devoted to Dr. Demento, and those novelty songs, there are novelty groups, you know, who just do crazy songs. I actually went to a mini festival of novelty.
Oh, Demetricon?
No, but the thing is that I thought, oh my, because I had a friend who was in the thing, and I went to see the friend to pay my respects, and I thought this is going to be the worst thing. It was really fun. It was
back
really
back before the internet. There was like Dr. Demento was when we were growing up was like one of the
absolutely.
Few
it was it was a nerd thing like loving Monty Python or listening to Dr. Demento every night at Sunday night at 10 or whatever was a certain segment of nerdy society,
and he did introduce us to many wonderful songs.
Like Fishheads.
So let's get back to this nobody, Kelsey Grammer.
No, but we do love Dr. Demento.
Sideshow Bob Roberts, by the way. Bob Roberts is a long-forgotten movie starring Tim Robbins about a sleazy political candidate. That's why this episode has this title.
And certain images relate back to that little scene film. I love the part happens to be listening to the radio. I guess he's nervous, so he sort of wants to hear what's going on.
Can now vote in free democratic elections.
My friends, Bob is a political prisoner.
Like Ladies' Night Tuesday? But have there ever been ladies?
There's never. It's not been a successful night. It's been a goal.
Actually, it said ladies, I eat.
I'm very proud of our restraint here because we do the pulled pin joke and never actually show an explosion. Right? So for us to not to take an advantage to create a lot of bloody limbs and stuff is pretty impressive.
Very well. If that is the way the winds are blowing, let no one say I don't also blow.
By the way, that's Dan doing Merrick Quimby. It's a great character and may have something to do with the way the Kennedys sound, but there's no proof of that either.
And you know, by the way, it was not written that way. I mean, it was not written for him to do. He just picked it.
He picked it, yeah. Political Kennedy, and it's a great accent for comedy. It really is.
That was a traditional Cape Fear sting and Cape Fear style shot, which often Bob has ever since the Cape Fear episode.
That's actually an accurate depiction of Republican headquarters.
It's actually too easy on them. Okay, this used to be edgy. Now it's just like a documentary.
Was this our first version of the Republican headquarters? Have we done this before?
It might have. Is it? I think it might have been our first.
I think so.
Yeah.
It was so funny to do something so heavy-handed.
So over the top. Yes.
Actually, by the way, he was demon in there.
People have been asking or have asked occasionally what Burns was saying there, and that was our approximation of this dead language called Enochian, which I believe is spoken in satanic ceremonies. We couldn't find any real stuff, so we just made that up.
We're claiming that we don't have any knowledge of satanic ceremonies. That is our claim.
When but the actually, entire staff of The Simpsons are...
That's where the comedy comes from, people.
Satan.
How do you think we figure this out? I say, where do you get your ideas? The answer is Satan.
I agree. I like the human touch.
We won't get any mail about that.
My kids had a soccer team, and they want to call them the Red Devils, and some parents of kids on the team objected to.
Oh, it's really? They should take that up with Duke University and their Blue Devils, which have been winning NCAA championships for about 100 years.
Well, as we record this, Texas is trying to ban certain cheerleader moves that are obscene, though they will not say which moves are inappropriate, but they're saying they're no good. And at the same time, there's another school principal who just banned the marching band playing Louie Louie, even though they're not going to sing the lyrics, which have been proven after the FBI studied them for 2 years.
No, the FBI made up the obscene lyrics.
They made up obscene?
No, they did.
But still, in this day and age, we're in 2005, people. Actually, Josh's birthday.
Thank you.
Yes, happy birthday. It's May 5th, 2005.
As far as Louie Louie goes, by the way, I'm in this rock band with a bunch of writers,
yes.
And we perform Louie Louie, and we do the lyrics of the fake FBI.
Oh, that's good. That's lyrics. Great. Yes, that's fantastic. So you do dirty lyrics, even though that wasn't the intention. But they won't even let them play the music because people might think of the lyrics, get excited, and procreate.
That's it. These two guys in the limo, by the way, are based on Ehrlichman and Haldeman.
For those of you who don't know, John Ehrlichman and H.R. Haldeman were two close advisors to Richard Nixon during the Watergate scandal.
This is one of my favorite jokes in the show.
I can't believe they let us do that.
It was great. That was the Archie gang and Stay Out of Riverdale. Fantastic.
But, you know, the lawyers really meddled a lot less back in the mid-90s than they do now.
We have many more fights with lawyers and many more wimpy lawyers who are afraid to let us, you know, do these parody
things. Also, I think people, even back as recently as 1994, people's first reaction was not to sue. People's first reaction to everything is to sue now.
It's a very litigious society, and we here on this commentary say, bring it on. That worked for Bush when he said that. Apparently made everybody go away.
That's a great design of a kid covered in bumper stickers.
This is, too, and I love his line here. I think this is a perfect line.
Oh, what's happening?
What's happening? And that's a reference to one of our favorite TV shows that we get a lot of inspiration from.
Expressway! How are you going to top that, smart guy?
A lot of Matlock in this show. So.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever Josh Bill, obviously, we said this before, love to write old people. But their old people writing is very limited to the old people just yelling Matlock once in a while.
And quite honestly, we didn't. I think it was Jeff Martin who had the first Matlock thing. We just picked up the ball.
Oh, okay, that's great. Good.
Didn't you guys once pitch the idea for the perfect sitcom?
In the air, then. Just
every idea we have is the perfect sitcom.
But the perfect sitcom for you was. No?
Oh, yeah. You mean Five Old Men in a Submarine?
Yeah.
Still fighting World War II? Yes. Yeah. That's us.
That is. I would watch that show. Come on. It's not too late.
Five 80-year-old mean guys starring Lawrence Tierney in a submarine still thinking they're fighting World War II.
There's Richard Sakai getting out of prison.
This is based on a very famous ad, I think, during, what's that, Dukakis?
The presidential campaign, the Willie Horton ad, yes.
Totally racist, race-baiting kind of thing, yeah.
The best part of that ad is that they're actually saying the same person that released Sideshow Bob. I love that logic. This is the second time Larry's done the show, and he was terrific.
There's no need for obnoxious hooting and hollering.
He's very unhappy to be on Fox.
I shouldn't have shaken hands.
He really captured Ehrlichman and Haldeman's
signer.
Yeah.
Grim and grimmer.
I hope that flu doesn't affect his performance out there.
Don't worry. He's taken a million of these capsules.
Nice sting on the extra drowsy formula.
Sideshow Bob, Councilman Les Wyman says that you're not experienced enough to be mayor. Sir, what do you
I love set up name jokes.
That was Mike Reese. I remember the moment he pitched it. We were all like, man, he must have been working on that for 10 minutes in his head before he said it.
When Harry was doing Rush Limbaugh, he was banging on the desk and shuffling papers the way Rush Limbaugh does on his show.
Convenient stance on crime. But suppose for a second that your house was ransacked by thugs, your family tied up in the basement with socks in their mouths. You try to open the door, but there's too much blood on the knob.
What is your direct question?
My question's about the budget, sir.
Now, that also is a reference to the 1988 presidential campaign when they asked that Kitty Dukakis question.
That's right, and we got his hair obviously to look like devil horns there, and then
that's part of our satanic.
That was part of our whole satanic thing, and our comment on the fact that we don't think the media is balanced in looking at certain.
Thank
candidates.
God Fox has remedied that situation.
I know Fox has fixed it totally.
That upper class tax cut.
Also, that debate obviously was a reference to the whole Nixon-Kennedy debate in 1960, where Nixon had a cold and was all sweaty and so forth.
I didn't realize that Nixon had a cold. I knew he was sweaty, but that's why he was sweaty?
I think he had just gotten over a cold.
Okay. Yes, because the famous thing is that people that listened to that debate on the radio thought that Nixon had won.
That's right.
But people who saw it on television, you know, didn't like the way he looked and went with Kennedy.
Look how happy he is.
By the way, Kelsey laughing like that, and he laughs at the evil laugh as Sideshow Bob, he hates doing that more than life itself. He begs when you direct him, do I have to do the laugh again?
We just pull the recording out of the vault.
Please use a recording. And I said, well, I need a special kind of laugh that goes, and it just kills him for some reason. It's the most exhausting thing that he does is that evil laugh. Because I think that Kelsey is such a nice guy. To get that evil to come up out of laughter just rips his soul apart. So I have him do it again and again. And I think I'm going to put it on the DVD. We have me asking him to do it until he actually starts to cry. So look for that. It's an Easter egg. Not really. Don't waste your time.
Bart, by special request to the mayor's office, you are going to be left back.
Oh, you mean I have to repeat the fourth grade?
Well, yes, but not for 4 or 5 years. Bart, you're going to kindergarten.
Kindergarten?
They're very mean to Bart. I mean, the fact that Krabappel did that was very sad.
Bart, you have first choice of toys for free play.
Cool. I call the Flintstone phone.
I love that phone, by the way.
We got the Flintstones, too. We got away with a lot.
The Flintstones have appeared on the show. Remember, they were in a couch gag as well.
That's right.
But that Flintstone phone, I really like that. I mean, it didn't really exist. But I would buy that if that existed. I would love my phones to look like that.
I'm pretty sure I've seen something like that in it.
Really? With the horn and everything?
Yeah. I don't know that the phone looked like that, but I'm pretty sure there were buttons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Results of last month's
mayor
election.
What, do you live in fantasy land?
That's right.
This is one of the most famous shots from All the President's Men.
And very well done, Mark.
Absolutely.
Very, very
terrific.
Well done.
Okay. Aaron A. Aronson voted for... Bob. Aaron L. Aronson voted for... Bob. Arthur B. Ablabab voted for...
It really is exactly
It's
like
totally,
it.
Yeah, and the music is exactly the same, too.
So legally exactly the same.
In All the President's Men, there is a scene where Woodward and Bernstein are researching at the Library of Congress, which has those kind of reading stalls.
And then they go later to a parking garage.
Yes,
you,
of course.
Are you these similarities... These similarities you discovered after you wrote this, right?
By accident, yes.
The Matlock thing, too. It's amazing.
I think they're too good for me.
You're on the right track. Follow the names.
How the hell do you know?
Even with the hairline, I know.
Well, you know, it's part of, I try to design characters... so you can recognize them in silhouette.
In silhouette,
so
yeah.
That's a real tough.
So it was tough. It was tough. Yeah, I love the way Homer ruins it.
Burns back before, but Sideshow Bob's ultra.
And this is a very again, we talk about timely. This was a huge issue this year about the Republicans and the gays.
Yep.
And so this really rings so true.
Edgar Neubauer.
No, Edgar Neubauer. This is hopeless. They're going to demolish our house for sure. We're going to have to move into
we Korea. Called her so many Korea. Times. Anytime we have a free moment on The Simpsons, she gets a nasty wise guy call from us. Please. That's what she deserves. She's got that name. You got to take care of these people.
Well, my immature friends, when I was in grade school, used to call up somebody named Bullwinkle. A lot.
You don't have that number on you, do you, man?
Look, Prudence Goodwife died 1641. She voted for Bob, too. So did Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper.
Granted, they all died in Springfield.
The Big Bopper, I'm sure people might, you know, there was this famous song called Chantilly Lace, and it began, "Hello, baby," and that's the goodbye, baby, in case you're too young or cool to know that reference.
Say, he did try to kill me.
This is taken from the beginning of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Not really, I don't know. There was no ending to that moment.
Yeah,
it was no joke. It was just sort of pain.
he kind of just smiled a little bit at the end. I was looking at that and said, boy, why did we leave that in? It's very odd.
Mr. Mayor, is it true you rigged the election?
Yeah, see, we didn't want to just rip off All the President's Men. We wanted to then morph into ripping off A Few Good Men. And we did
all
that
sort of
well.
Semi-political movies were ripped off in this.
But you see, that it really is true. We rip them off, but then we do twists on them that are funny in context. It's not just a matter of seeing the shots or having the moment, but having some sort of twist on the moment. That's the trick.
Here I am.
I have a plan. I think we can trap him.
Yes, the drinking of the water is very typical of... I think Tom Cruise drank a lot of water before he got up.
I am.
In the DVD version of that, the extended version, he gets in trouble because he has to go to the bathroom. But he can't, so he's kind of like jumping around on one foot. It's really interesting footage.
Hey, Barlow!
Excellent fumfering by Harry.
You don't have the intelligence to rig an election by yourself, do you?
You were just Barlow's lackey.
You were Ronnie.
Sorry, folks, we're caught up in the show.
It's riveting. We don't know how it's going to come out.
Lies, lies, lies. I did it. I did it all.
Kelsey is amazing. He has such a fantastic voice and such control over it.
We want the truth.
You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. No truth handler, you. I deride your truth handling.
Such commitment and such hilarity. I mean, such timing. It's just great. It's just, and the timbre of his voice. You just can't get better.
And I have the records to prove it. Here, just look at these. Each one a work of Machiavellian art.
This is also a sort of a reference vaguely to every Perry Mason episode ever.
You know, does Perry Mason just go to the person investing every
Perry
time?
Mason. I mean, that's...
It seems like that's the standard thing, is that the person is never going to break, and then they suddenly break after they're goaded into bragging
right
about their
just
crime.
Just about to get off.
You're not smart enough to commit a crime of this nature.
You're 2 seconds from getting off. Just don't say anything. I can't help it. I have to tell the world what I've done.
Oh, yes. All that stuff I did.
There you go. That's exactly what happened.
Woody Allen did a great version of that in Bananas. Remember where the guy runs into the courtroom and confesses, breaks
the wrong,
into wrong trial and runs out?
That was great. That was a great moment. Great court. All the courtroom jokes in that were hilarious. Remember when he actually questioned himself and he was running back and forth and he gets himself all upset and he breaks. It was great.
Savage, roach-ridden cesspool.
Oh, and then he was bound and gagged, and he questioned somebody with the gag and still broke the person by going, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, you're right. You're putting words in my mouth.
Princeton.
For all you kids, this is a reference to Allenwood Minimum Security Prison.
That's
if you want to go to prison, go there.
That was where I think Martha Stewart
to nice
was hoping
prisons.
To go.
What?
I think Martha Stewart was trying to get that, but then she didn't. She got sent to the tougher one in West Virginia. At least one of them went to Allenwood. Another one, I think, went to Eglin Air Force Base in Florida.
Even when doing these heinous things, they go to country clubs, effectively. Oh, the country, my friends. But we took care of it with this episode. I think this really straightened things out.
It changed the direction of the country completely.
It did for a while. And now that it's coming out on DVD again, hopefully it'll topple the Republicans yet again. And we'll have another,
This is going to have disclaimers all over it. This voiceover.
We just
if it's
need
still
the
actually
one
on
in
the
beginning.
Show.
The people doing the voiceover
usually
are
Fox,
mentally
usually says
Ill.
Fox, has no, takes no position. And this
That's
one.
Right.
Fox is actively opposed to this audio commentary.
I thought they were for it. Oopsie, they told me to shush. There's censorship. Help us.